مارك السهابة, The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
Consciously connected, keeping your company this morning. Boniface on the board doing a brilliant tech as usual. And at that time of the morning, where we join our very own counselor, Ahmad Parak. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Shafa. What a nice Sunday, beautiful morning. Allah has blessed us with Shafa.
Absolutely, kis kis mehnat hi aapke rab ki jutlaye gaye, and the answer is done. Where are we looking at the kafan dafan? What's the latest, Ahmad?
Shabbat, you heard about the Pangola accident. Now this is a non-Muslim undertaking business. You know, there was a huge road crash during the course of the week last week. Sometime there's 20 people died when a truck crash into a mini taxi, and yesterday, you know, Heritage Day, at the age of 5 and 14, school children, 14 of them, they were had to put to rest yesterday. So, Shabbat, you know, today the coverage of road accidents is especially in our roads at the moment, is taking a very serious toll on us. And then yesterday alone, 20 people died in one road accident last week alone. So, you know, yesterday they had to, you know, hard, you know, it is sad to see how those mothers might be put up to raise the child at the age of 5 to 14 years. You know, Shabbat, this was a very sad moment on a day of Heritage Day in South Africa when the parents had to put the loved ones 6 feet down, Shabbat.
Now, Ahmad, you look at all these accidents that are taking place, and in maybe 80 or 95% of the accidents, you're finding it's taxis, it's either trucks involved, or maybe some say, you know, potholes and that. But most of the cases, they say that the drivers, most of them were intoxicated, or some are busy on their phones. What are the statistics that you have, Ahmad?
Shabbat, first and foremost, these drivers who are on the road, firstly, they do not take proper rest. That is one of the biggest problems that we are faced with. Secondly, they say they can work the 18 hours, 20 hours with 300 milliliters of Red Bull. That is not going to assist, Shafat. And you know what? When the sleep gets you, you will lose control of the vehicle. And that's what happened in this case here. And then could be some of them also, you know, a lot of other accidents we find that people are on the cell phone. Cell phone is one of the worst things at the moment people are using, and then they do not have Bluetooth or anything like that, and it's a problem, and we're getting a lot of these accidents, and you know what, it is causing a problem in terms of getting postmortems done and all that, because our accident rate in the country has increased. You know, normally you used to get only festive season, now it's like a normal, it became every month is like a festive season in terms of accidents at the moment.
Looking at all these accidents that are taking place, and the question to pose is, most of the vehicles that are involved in accidents, they say, are not roadworthy. These trucks, how often are these trucks checked up of being roadworthy? There are some taxis that we look around, looks definitely like Skoros. They have maybe from the 70s, 80s, but they're rattly and they're still carrying passengers around. How do they get away with so much of impunity, Ahmad?
These taxis, Shabbat, firstly, some of them are in a very good nick condition. Taxis, you see them on the road and you can see the taxis are really shining and everything else. But some of them, as you say, these are really, really scorers. They should be written off. The government, in 3 years ago, I remember very, very clearly, I was sitting in a delegation of that task team. And then what they have offered, they take the skoronkoro away from you and they give you 50,000 rand to upgrade your vehicle. So these guys, actually what they do is they give it to the government, the skoronkoro vehicle, and then they rebuy it. They get somebody else to rebuy it, and that vehicle back is back on the road. And this is what's happening.
Yeah, look at this question that's coming through, and it's from Suleiman. Suleiman says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmad, I want to know, recently there have been a spate of hijackings, and why are these hijackers getting away so quickly? It's done in a few seconds, but it seems as if they got contacts and someone's opening the road for them, because most of them, no, all of them are getting away literally all the time. Why is this so, Ahmad? Ahmad, I think Suleiman makes a very good point. I mean, there they are, they know when to hit, and no one does anything about it. Ahmad?
Shafat, this is a syndicate of this hijacking, especially for vehicle. And then, as I said, I think in one of the shows about a week, 2 weeks ago, as I mentioned, that these hijackers have got a list, like how you get a grocery list. You go and buy from your supermarket, and then these guys have got a grocery list of what vehicles they are looking for. And these vehicles are actually stolen here and stripped, and he's already been sent to one of the black states. And this is the biggest problem we are finding with. And the guys are here. These are foreigners with our locals. They have, you know, they have got an art, and they have made it such that, you know what, they cannot get caught, because they do it such a way. You can have the best equipment, best device in your vehicle alarm system. They know how to break that system, and they take the vehicle, and the vehicle, before you can say Jack Robinson, is already in Maputo or away in one of these black states, and that is it. And these are cars they are waiting for, mainly at Toyota 4x4s. They're looking for mainly city golfs. All the golfs are in big demand, and my suggestion to anyone is, if you're owning a golf, rather sell your golf and get any other car, because your life is at stake at the moment. And this is, they've got a waiting list for these cars, Shafat.
You know, Ahmad, while you're talking, and I was just reading in headline this morning, it says the South African National Defence Force members recovered 10 million rands of stolen hijacked vehicles and illicit cigarettes in Limpopo. I mean, what's going on here, Ahmad?
Shafat, Limpopo is a border post. So it goes, any vehicle they steal in a country goes from there, and it goes out of the country from there. So there's a syndicate that operates in this country with the foreign nationals, and this is what our problem is. And from Limpopo, it is an easy escape area where you'll be able to export those vehicles out of the country.
Oh, lovely information coming through there. We didn't know that. So the closer to the border, the more activity there is. Then why isn't there more policing there, Ahmad?
Shafat, as you know, our government do not have any money for. We are short of Metro Police. We are short of SAP. If you go way in anywhere in the world, Shafat, listen to this very, very carefully. Where in the world you'll find we have to employ security company to guard a police station? So you know what? So if you have to guard your police station, then it talks for itself. One. Number two is, Shafat, we don't have the manpower to man the streets. Even if you got a burglary at home, phone Spingo Police and see how long they take. Because 9 out of 10, if they got 3 or 4 jackals, and the vehicles are gone out, or from the 4 vehicles, 3 are not working. And you won't believe it. Some of them, only for a battery or the tire has to be changed, they will take it to the workshop, and it'll take them nothing less than to change one tire or one battery, nothing less than 90 days. This is how it's worked.
Now, it seems as if even the police are frightened to drive out of the police station. And as you said, they need security guards to protect them. And you know how vulnerable the security guards are. I mean, it's shocking, Ahmad, that, you know, sometimes we wonder, you know, what type of security. And sometimes you invite it, and you're frightened to go out for the invitation, especially at night. I mean, if you're driving past a spaghetti junction and this junction, you know, you can't function properly, because your head is already worried who's going to ambush you, who's going to hijack you. And this feeding of most South Africans, you know what, this place is a stay at home. Your comments, Ahmad?
Shabbat, I had a friend from the UK during the weekend, and he was telling me, I haven't seen anywhere in the world where you get a security company to look after your old police station where you saw that. So then, maybe, you know, end of that day, you know what, it's not South Africa, you know, the worst president that we ever had is Ramaphosa at the moment. And in fact, the people say, you know, I employ, you know, I've got a clothing factory and I meet a lot of people on the ground. Yesterday was Heritage Day and I had to give a talk with Action SA, my party, and then I meet a lot of people every single day. And you won't believe it, the problem they say in this country, the worst president that we ever had is Ramaphosa. Secondly, they were much better off. You say there was problem in the time of Jacob Zuma. The people used to, there was a lot of corruption and everything, but the people were employed and the people had their job. And there was, the country was flourishing. This Ramaphosa came, is there's no lights, there's no water, there's, you name it, everything has gone. My biggest fear is, Shafat, I'm not sure whether we will be able to see the next election 2024, because the system in that, from now to the 19 months before we go for national polls, whether we will be able to see that, because I think that the time is right now that they will not make it if they're not going to do something drastically. Although foreigners are international big corporates are pumping money into the country, because they are saying when the chips are down in a country, that's when they invest. That's how they do or think how to make money. Then they spend. In the last quarter, we had $22 billion put into South Africa. But the problem is all that money is coming. Even with all that money is coming into the country, how are we going to service all the problems that we have in the country? So this is the problem. Whether we will be able to see the 19 months before election, I'm not sure, because something has to come right very, very quickly in the next 60 days or so. Before Christmas, I would say something has to change in the country to get it right. And then you want to get for international money more coming into the country, because I cannot see the way that the ANC government is handling the situation at the moment, they will come out on top. There's no way, because you have to do something drastically now.
Yes, Walaikum Salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our, Suleiman Kisote. What caught your ears when listening to the news?
Shabbat, the killing in Palestine is ridiculous at the moment. The whole international world is seeing what is happening. And then number two, Russian and the Ukraine war, that is causing a big problem at the moment. And the international countries are saying that they should be charged for war criminals. They should be brought for justice. Why is no justice is being taken when our women and children are being killed in Palestine? Nobody is doing anything about it now. The focus now has moved away from Palestine to Ukraine. They say the Ukraine, they've been assaulted, they've been murdered, they've been raped and everything else by the Russians. But they must think about, what about for the last so many years, our women and children in Palestine was being brutally murdered and killed in front of the parents. Nothing happened. And then now they're talking, there's also Russian is putting another 300,000 soldiers in the Ukraine border. So I think, you know what, they deserve what is coming to them, and they need to see that European countries all over the world need to see for themselves what is happening around the world. And now, because they are in trouble and they're not doing anything about Palestine, they must fix Palestine as well. They should be brought before the justice system, international justice system. Why is it only when it's a European country, then only they start jumping, Shafat?
Good point. Good observation made there by our councillor, Ahmed Paraka. Ahmed, then you look at locally, you know, in KZN, you have the royal family, the Zulu family. There's still this tug of war. One says the king's brother says, no, I should be the king. The king's son is the king, and so forth. Chief Gotcha Buthelezi, he's backing the king's son and so forth. What is going on here? This tug of war between the royal household, how is it affecting KZN in general, Abad?
Shafat, the High Court have already ruled for the for the current king. He's already put in place, and I don't think his brother has got any chance, as the, you know, the case has already been, judgment was passed. Whether he's going to take it on appeal is still to be seen. The internal constitution makes it very, very clear, and based on that, the judge has ruled in this matter here, and I don't think they have got a, any leg to stand, even if they take it on appeal, Shabbat.
And then you look at, you know, the Western Cape, many say is looking for federation. They want to cut away and, you know, have their own government and their own province. The same is that they say very soon that we will have the kingdom of the isiZulu. How true is that? How soon will KZN go the federation route, Ahmad?
Shafat, to do that, you have to call up, you have to change the constitution. Now, to change the constitution, you have to go before parliament, and you need the majority to vote. So I don't think that's going to happen in the near future. But anything can happen in the way the country is going at the moment. And Cape Town is, you know, the tourists are coming there. They, you know, Cape Town, the DA government is putting a cleaner picture to the world to say that, you know what, we in Cape Town, we governing it properly. Our cities are clean, this is done. But look at the flip side of it and go into Khayelitsha, go and see Blue Down, go and see the other areas, how, what a mess it is. You can see, we're talking about Jandol. You go into the airport and you can see on the left-hand side, there's Jandols there in Cape Town. Why they don't clear the Jandols out, give them proper housing and everything else as well. So the long and the short is just that. Whether it's going to happen is not going to happen now, because you have to change the constitution to make it, to take it away from the South African government, to make it a city of itself. You know, anything is possible, but it has to be done via the constitution.
You talk about the Jandals, right? I want to know, in other parts of Africa, how many other parts of Africa has Jandals? I mean, it seems that great South Africa is known. Hey, Jandals here, Jandals there, Jandals everywhere. Ahmad?
Shafan, in our city alone, there's 590 informal settlement, what we call Jandals. Now, these Jandals were actually put in place by who? The ANC government. To keep any municipality under control, to keep it under check and to get votes, this is what they do. They come there, they put you up there, they say, use this land here, put the jandals and all that, you close it. Brought all the people from the rural area into the city and say, you know what, you are better, you get a job here in the city, you're not going to get a job in the farm, you're not going to get a job there, so come here in the city. But you know, you don't have a house. Then they put on jandal here, and you can live here. Then you're taking electricity from Joe Block's house. You're taking water from somebody else's meter. So this is what is happening, and they put this thing in place for one reason, so they can get the votes. And if you look at it, if you look at that 590 informal settlement, you know how many thousands of people are living under that. And if you took the 12th of April flooding we had, who was seriously affected? The journalists were very seriously affected. Those people are still in halls at the moment, and people have got bookings for those halls, for weddings and for the year end. They had functions to be taking in these halls. Now we can't do anything. Now we have to look for alternate suitable halls for those people as well. The thing is this, the city have to put their act together and start moving these people out, because the generals are suffering it.
Yeah, you hear the stories and that's coming out, and Ahmad is up to speed with that. Looking at a message here, it says, Assalamu alaikum, I'm Nabil and I love the show and I will never miss it for anything. Ahmad had given us a timeline for this Pingo Beach, so we call that those people that are living there will be moved out by the end of September. Any updates, Ahmad? I'm looking forward to them leaving. Please, Ahmad, let me know. Ahmad, how do you respond to Nabil?
Javad, firstly, we must thank you for giving us good good report on everything. The thing is, if he thinks that by this week those people are going to be moving out from the Silicon, I don't think it's going to happen. It will take another maybe one or two more weeks because they're still putting things together from the council side of it. But I don't think we are ready. But they will be moved out from the single Silicon. That's for sure. There's no doubt about it. They will be moved away from there.
Now, what about those people that book for functions and all? So you're giving them a refund, and then you say another 2 weeks, and maybe another 2 weeks will be another 2 months, and then you see they spend the whole of December there, Ahmed?
Shabbat, firstly, those people that have booked, if you book for like October, November, December, so the city has to move them out of there, council has to move them out as quick as possible, and then they have to do that whole place up in terms of maybe getting it painted, getting everything fixed before they can even start giving the refund, or they have to give them refunds, let them go and bring alternate arrangement, because I don't think it will be ready before Christmas, because the thing is, it has to be fixed up after that, because, you know, you had a lot of people in those civic halls, all the toilets are broken, there's a lot of damage is done to these halls and all that, so it has to be fixed up. Now, whether we want to find the money before Christmas, only Allah knows this.
Looking at this message, Farooq says, Assalamu alaikum. I'm really enjoying the show, Brother Shafaat. Tell Ahmed Tariq, we all make dua for him because he's a man of truth. I noticed that businessman Vivian Reddy had lost his rates request or rates rebate for the Quadruguza, and the Quadruguza municipality refused to drop his rates. I'm afraid we as top businessmen and top landlords, we will not even get our rates rebate because the municipalities are greedy. How do you respond to Farooq, Ahmed?
Shafaat, first and foremost, if you know this, Quadruguza has got nothing to do with the Itiquity municipality. How they assess Virgin Reddy's assessment, whether it was right or how it was assessed, that I cannot give you because it is Quadruguza and then it's a municipality on its own. Number two is Itiguini. Yes, if you have been overcharged and if you had the 30th of June to put your objection and which you did not do, then you still got the opportunity to do a late submission to the council and you will have to pay 640 rand, and you do a late submission, and the council will bring it before the committee, and they will say, okay, fine, you have been overcharged by so much, they will not give you the money, but they will give you a credit. But if you analyze it properly, because your property for the year 2021-22 was 3 million, and all of a sudden, they have put your property value to 4.8 million. So now you're going to be paying your rates on 4.8 million. So when you show your rate, you started jumping and you're saying, no, my rates are too high. I have to object. So object on that basis. What? So firstly, you must get three quotations from one of the state agents to say, you know what? My property is not worth 4.8 million. How did you assess it at 4.8 million? Now you want to charge me rates on 4.8 million, no more on 3 million. So that's where you have got a leg to stand and you've got grounds to fight the council to say, no way, I'm not paying this thing, but you have to pay the old rate and object for the new rates. That's what you'll have to do.
This message says, Salams, Ahmed Bhai, I'm Fazlul Islam, me Bangladeshi, I listen on Garden Route Radio, very good program. Now I have a frighten because it say the Home Affairs will check all foreigners and immigration status of foreign nationals. Me don't like because they hit and take money only. They check my paper but take money. I know this is not right. Maybe you, Ahmed Bhai, come and talk to us foreigners, Bangladeshi too, and help us. We will give you something. how do you respond to this, brother Ahmed?
Firstly, that brother want to make me corrupt, number one. Number two, I don't take money from anyone, Shabbat. This is, I'm in council not for the money, and to serve the community and to serve the deen. Number three, Shabbat, the thing is very, very simple with Home Affairs. If he is got all his papers, he done properly, he is compliant, he mustn't give anybody 1 cent. They can, even they say they want to lock him up, tell him to fine, lock me up. On what basis you want to lock me up when I have got asylum paper, yeah, I got work permit, I got my permit has not expired in the country, so you can't do me anything. But what the Home Affairs has put in place, now even after hours, you don't have to wait for working hours to check whether you are legal or illegal. They have got a system, you can go to the police station and they can check it up immediately in front of you to say whether you're legal or illegal. That's it. So all these foreigners are in the country, the police has got an authority, the Metro Police has got an authority, the SAPS has got authority, so they will check on you and they will also be given a device where they will be able to scan it out immediately whether you are legal or not legal. And if you're illegal, they will detain you, and that is going to happen. There's no two ways about it. So my recommendation to all those people, my Bangladeshi brothers, Pakistani, India, whoever is in the country, get yourself organized, go to Home Affairs, go and apply for asylum documents or refugee status, or whatever you have to, but the chances of you getting it are very, very slim, because we have now, the decision is being taken with national government that if you're not legal in the country, you will have to go back, and this is what's going to happen. And we have already closed the door. People are coming. Now you are here, you Bangladeshi, one Bangladeshi is here. Now he's bringing his father, mother, granny, sister, uncle, everybody, one by one is coming because they're paying and they're getting the paperwork. So all that paperwork, that syndicate, you must understand, they have already detained all the syndicates. Most of the syndicates in the country are already detained. So all the Pakistanis, India, whoever is here, paid and got the paper illegally, we caught up with them. So that door has been closed. So they're going to do a due diligence on them, checking up how he came, when he came, when was he first here in South Africa, on what permit he came, whether he came on a working permit, how did he get resident in the country. All that is going to take place. So the foreign nationals are here in the country. They're in for a big jump now, from now to next year, because that door is closing on them, Shafa.
Well, Fazlul Bhai, you heard now. Ahmed, you know, he don't take money, Fazlul Bhai. Ahmed got big business. Ahmed, the honest man. Allah give Ahmed a lot of barakah. He don't need you. If you got your papers in order, if they come by you and they say you want to check paper, say, yes, check my paper. If you want money, no. You break me jail, I get my lawyers to do this. Alhamdulillah. Ahmed said it very eloquently. If you got your papers, you got no gabrat mode, you got nothing. But you start paying, it's going to catch up with you. Well, Ahmed, I noticed another message, and mashallah, this segment really has a lot of barakah, and it is from Yusuf. Yusuf says, assalamu alaikum, great show indeed. He says, Ahmed, what about a new party coming in South Africa? And it's a Mosi Meimani, and he says he's going to make a big, big change, and he's a new party is Build One SA. Tell me, how's it going with all these people? Will Mosi Meimani make a difference, Ahmed? Good question from Yusuf.
Shafat, you must, and if you know politics and if you read in between the lines, it is very, very simple. Mosi, as he was with DA, he was a blue-eyed boy for the DA, and he didn't like the way that DA was handling things there. Like Herman Mashaba was the mayor of Gauteng, and he saw that the party still got racist ethos in them. He left them and he formed his own party. Mosi's party is, my gut feeling is, I'm not 100% sure, that, you know what, the ANC has now read in between the lines. they got no chance for 2024 of what is happening with ESCOM, what is happening with SAA, what is happening. Everything they are touching is going from gold, it became salt with the ANC government. That's how bad it is. So they say now, you know what, the only way what the old nationalist government used to do is to keep control, they would now plan somebody else. Now they came to Morsi. Now they say Morsi has got support. They put money into Morsi and say, like, listen here, you go and form yourself a party and we'll back you up. So what it does is it will break the votes for all the other parties. Like, say, Action SA, we are going to be the second biggest party in the country. They want to break us and they want to break DA. So the bigger the opposition, the no chance they got to control the country. So that is the problem they're going to be faced with. So they're putting a third person there so to break the votes, so make it easier for them to still control, and then they'll do a pact like how EFF, Malema did. Malema was a blue-eyed boy for the ANC, the Youth League and everything. He didn't want Zuma. He said, no, Zuma must pay back. Zuma must pay back. What happened? Today he's in bed with Zuma. This is how they work, Shabbat.
Saeed says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmed, Tongati is still in crisis. It's a very sad situation indeed. And lots of our people want to drill boreholes. And I notice in certain plots, three or four boreholes are put down. Isn't borehole digging very detrimental to the ecology of the region? How do you respond to Saeed there, Ahmed?
Saeed Bhai, no problem. Fellas, we are concerned in the city. You'll see all the tabloids, see the news, you'll see. We spent 10 million in buying new tankers. So the water issue in Tonga, there will be, in the next week, 2 weeks, will be released in terms of more tankers will be coming through to your way, because we have, instead of hiring, we went and bought new tankers. So that is already, three have been already delivered. More is to be delivered. We have delivered. There will be a 46 of these tankers coming into the city of Itikwini just to assist for water. That's one. Number two, in terms of borehole, if you put a borehole in your yard, you make sure you put a meter as well. Because what we have done in the city at the moment, because of the crisis, we're leaving you now, but we want to still come and text you later. Then we want to come to you. He says, oh, hold on. We will pick it up when you got a borehole with a dome, and we'll tell you you are using water, because now we'll know what you used to use, now you're not using. So somewhere you either stealing water from your neighbor, or where are you getting water from? So we come and check on you. You're using borehole water, so then borehole water, you need to pay for water, but at a special rate, you have to pay. So you're not going to get Mahala water, even borehole, because that underground water does not belong to you. It belongs to the city.
Well, Ahmed, you know, you touched on a very important point. You said stealing water from your neighbor, right? I want to know what the fine is. And number two, what about those people stealing electricity from your yard, from your neighbor, and stealing water from the neighbor? What happens? What is a fine there, Ahmed?
Shafa, firstly, if a person is stealing water or electricity from you, what you must do is open a charge. Once the charge is open, the SAPS will investigate and the city will be notified, and we'll come and cut him off completely. That's what we are doing all over. You saw how much of millions and millions of rands of copper we have found recently, and what the guy, even the guy, the owner of that scrapyard, that guy buys that copper, who he wanted to export it to India and China, we locked him up as well. So this is it. So the people that are buying copper and buying stolen metal, they all want to go behind bars now.
Well, you heard it from Ahmed. Yeah, you be careful. You do the wrong thing, you're going to have jail time. Ahmed says, Assalamu alaikum. Really great chat, Brother Shafaat. Ahmed Farak is a great public servant. He says, Ahmed, I want to know from you, a lot of people are still building illegal buildings and they're getting away with impunity. And I want to know, there's also health inspectors that are bought off with the building inspectors. When will this be cleaned out? Because I can tell you, in my town alone, people are building like crazy. but it seems as if they are building right on the road pavement. I know this is not legal. Talk to me, Ahmed. What can you do about this whole thing? Ahmed, how do you respond to Ahmadi?
Ahmadi, firstly, I can't do anything, but when I tell you what you must do first, then I can help you. One, you need to first report that to the municipality, Department of Building, and they will take this matter up. Thereafter, once you have done that, you have sent that report, you give me the reference number that you have reported, and then I can follow up from my side as a counselor to say, you know what, a report has come from 1, 2, 3 people in the same road, and we need a proper investigation to be done. And if that investigation is not taking place, or somebody has been bribed, or somebody has been taking money for illegal things at the council, then we'll expose them. That's how you do things, sir.
Also, Ahmadi has a second question. He says, Ahmad, I also noticed there are some Lani foreign nationals that are getting onto our different groupings, and they're getting into the police forums and this forum, but they are there to spy, to see what they can do, and they buy off the police and the members of the forums. What can be done about this? Because I believe that only locals should be in these different forums, not foreigners. How do you respond to Ahmed? He's got a bit of a problem here, Ahmed.
Shafat, why, if that person living in an area who owns a property and he is a foreign national and he's got all his paperwork, he's got residence here in the country, his passport will stay non-resident. He will get a South African passport, but it will state the non-residence, meaning that he is here, but this is not his birth or country. Yeah. So that he would. But if he's got everything, he's got an ID, South African ID, his children are going in the school in that same area, and he got elected on the forum, you can't do anything. He's part and parcel of that community. He can stay there. You cannot take him out. Secondly, if he was legally elected on the forum, he can stay in the forum. If he's got a problem, he can bring it up to the city, because he is a citizen of South Africa, a non-citizen of South Africa in terms of his passport and South African documentation.
Ahmed, what a lovely answer, because I'm sure many of them had that. Ahmadi, Jazakallah for bringing that up. And Ahmed, 10 stars for you. Absolutely brilliant. Your parting words this morning?
Shafat, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening at the moment in council. Council, if you look at today's Sunday Tribune, council battle to keep up life. This life issue is going to be an ongoing thing. We are on 5 to 6 stage. It can go up to 7 or 8. But, you know, I don't think there should be too much of a panic. Things are getting together. They're finding a plan B to come to the party and make sure they keep the lights on, so that the industries they don't short time for the workers or anything. This part of the year, you know, in coming now, it will be October, November, and then it will shut down. So you can't, you know, the businesses are waiting for all the production that is coming. The shops need to be filled up and everything else. So, you know, I think we need to be, you know, make a little bit stubborn. You know, in every country, you have problem. You know, my boys were fighting with me yesterday, Shafat. They say, you only want to shield your counsel, and you're saying you're always covering up. I said, I do not cover up. If there is a problem, let's find a solution to the problem, then put compounding more issues to that problem. Find a way. Because in my dictionary, Shafat, problem is a golden opportunity. You find a problem, then you'll find a cure for that problem, or you'll find a remedy for the problem, or you'll find a solution for the problem, Shafat.
I tell you, hey, you got the vocabulary, you got the superlatives, and you're doing a brilliant work, Ahmed. I really enjoy you on Madka Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The listeners enjoy you. You have a beautiful Sunday ahead, Ahmed. We talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.